Hey y'all, hey, this is Dr. O again, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Now, I am so excited about tonight's episode because I have my good girlfriend, Miss Natalie, here. She's another therapist in the field, and we're gonna have a lot of good talk tonight just about, you know, mental health trauma, how do we get into the field, and, you know, you sharing and telling everybody about who you are and what you do.
Wow, thank you for having me here. I'm delighted to share, to be here, and have this conversation.
Wonderful. So tell everybody about you, Miss Natalie.
Sure. So my name is Natalie Warren. I am a psychotherapist. Been in the field, believe it or not, for 20 years. So I know I look young.
Ooh, yes, yes. When they say, look, here, we got to, you know, cheers to that with the black don't crack, baby.
20 years. I'm in private practice for 15, but I also get to be other things. Like, I am a holistic wellness expert. I'm a retreat leader. So I take women to amazing destinations to transform their lives.
Wow.
I absolutely love the work.
Wow. So tell us, what exactly is a holistic wellness worker?
Yeah, so I work with the mind a lot, right? In the field, we spend so much time working with the mind. And some years ago, I realized the integration with the body. So that holistic approach is looking at the whole self.
Okay.
And supporting them through the work of breath work. I do a lot of that. Just helping them to get into their bodies. And women, we know sometimes are just disconnected from that.
Okay, so now do you work with, what type of population do you typically work with? Do you work with trauma or other, you know, women's issues, men's issues? Is there, when you do it, especially when looking at the holistic work, is there a certain niche that you kind of specialize in?
So I love women. I have a heart for women and the things we deal with. So a lot of things with women, with transitions in life, obviously depression, anxiety, you know, trauma, right?
Absolutely,
trauma,
yes.
That lives in this body. And sometimes women who I work with don't realize they've experienced trauma because we have a label and a face for what we
exactly, exactly.
Uh-huh. But anything that impacts your nervous system creates trauma in this body.
Yes.
So that's a lot of the work that I do.
So, you know, that's, you know, my specialty as an international psychologist with a concentration or specialization in trauma. And I work with, when we look at, you know, and just in my research and things, when we look at, trauma has always been defined kind of in one way to me. And then as going through and through my own education and studies of learning that trauma is actually on this spectrum and what some people may call big T trauma and little T trauma. I remember one of my first clients early on, and I was doing an evaluation. I was like, yeah, you got trauma. And he was like, trauma? But I've never been to war. You know, I don't got PTSD. And I was like, yeah, you do. But he said, I've always just associated trauma or PTSD with military and being in war and things of that nature. And typically that's what people think about when they hear trauma or PTSD. They think of big natural disasters. They think of, you know, catastrophic incidences, you know, death in and sexual abuse and, you know, war and things of that nature. And all of that is trauma, but what we often negate is that what I specialize in, that developmental trauma.
Right.
So things, especially in communities of color, where we, you know, kind of just bypass and say, oh, that's normal. Look, that's just, you know, if you was raised in a black household, if you know what these letters here on social media say, and we all laugh and sit back, yeah, get your black ass, that's in this house before the MF. And we all would sit back, but not realizing, well, what's the true definition of trauma? Death or great bodily harm to myself or someone I love. And when we're looking back and we're not looking at the age that we are today in our 30s, 40s, 50s, plus however, and we can, while we're sitting back and laughing at it, no, what we look at is that 4-year-old, that 5-year-old, that 6-year-old, that 10-year-old who was told these things, getting the house before at that age, you don't know, that's death of great bodily harm.
Absolutely.
Going and getting the switch, that's death of great bodily harm. I'm gonna get beaten like bologna until my skin come off. That's great bodily harm.
Told not to cry, right?
And told not, and you bet not. Even when you wasn't getting the spanking or wasn't getting punished, it was like, you better not cry before I give you something to cry for. Right. That was my mother's, that was her big one. So, you know, I can, you know, and I asked about trauma because I know a lot of us were more starting to become more familiar with like the ACEs and the body keeps the score. And, you know, especially in, you know, communities of color, as more and more therapists of color coming out, we have more, we incorporate a lot more spiritual practices. I do, you know, Reiki here, hypnotherapy, brain spotting, EMDR, all of these things that have that mind and body connection, somatic and things like that, because a lot of times in our community, we've been told therapy is not for us. All we see was on Seinfeld, sitting on the couch, laying back, somebody this. No, but if I can resonate with what I've always been told is we don't take it, you know, we don't go to therapy, we go to church. So you can incorporate, and I don't want that big holier than thou, because we got that church hurt too.
Right.
So I don't want that, because I don't want that judgment, but I can incorporate my faith from wherever it might be, the ancestors or the creator or this or that and the third, into therapy. And we're seeing a lot of people getting healing.
Absolutely. Quicker, faster, right? Taking less time than therapy, just sitting and talk therapy. Absolutely. And I love, what I love about it is it bypasses the brain.
It does, yes.
Which the brain can get you in trouble. It's the most powerful thing I think we have, but it also can get us in trouble. And
so, absolutely.
Giving you a way to bypass that, I have seen remarkable results.
Yeah, and also getting out of your own way.
Absolutely.
You know, because when we're in that conscious mind, I always tell people times, you know, when you have, it's hard to get healing is because we want to protect ourselves, and it's only so much I'm going to consciously expose or share. And I don't naturally, I don't want you to judge me. I know you're my therapist and you say you're not going to judge me.
Right.
But yeah, if I say this, then I really know. So, you know, when doing these other types of therapies and holistic therapies, it bypass all of that and it really gets to the root.
Right.
So how did you get in this field?
Oh, good question. I will say I didn't choose it. It chose me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So if you would have known me in middle school, my friends will tell you this is who they knew I would be.
Really?
I was okay. That person. They came to me. I didn't have the knowledge, obviously, mm-hmm. Right? I didn't have degrees. But what I did know is that people were drawn to me with problems.
Okay.
And I was helping them. My friends that were teenage moms, I was helping them tell their parents that they were pregnant.
Wow. Now, where are you originally from?
So I grew up in South Carolina.
Okay.
My family is in D.C., so we moved South Carolina, which is a part of my trauma story, if that's what I'm saying. But that is kind of how I found it. I discovered that. I knew it was what I was supposed to do, and I went after it.
Okay. Okay. So from middle school is when you, oh, okay. Wow. Okay. And so from, did you go straight into like college, like a traditional route after high school and then into college and then so on and so forth?
I am a lover of learning.
Okay.
So I did high school, obviously college, master's degree. I did a PsyD program for some time. I absolutely love learning.
Okay.
So I went straight on through until 28.
Oh, wow. You said you did a PsyD program for some time. How was that? Because, you know, I know that you used to go to Argosy, that
right.
We all have our stories.
And when I went, it was actually Georgia School of Psychology.
Yes, Georgia School of Professional Psychology. Yep, yes.
Mm-hmm. Great experience. It certainly grew me in understanding, especially about assessments. I know you probably have this in your practice.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I learned about assessment. I grew as a therapist. I grew in learning how to assess a problem and provide treatment. Like, that was something that I really got that I didn't get a lot in my master's. But I grew as a person, and it brought up a lot of my own issues, which is connected to trauma, right? It brought up my own issues, and I had to do a lot of work around those.
Now, did prior to being in that program and things and your issue, did you realize or know that you had your own issues as well, or were you kind of more focused on helping everybody else and everybody else's issues until you were sitting back and like, well, dang.
Right. Me too, right? Well, the challenge was I knew I had them, but I was able to get through them. So let me tell you the story, and it'll make sense.
Okay.
So I started being teased from second grade to sixth grade.
Okay.
I migrated to South Carolina. My family did. And apparently, okay, because I was different, kids recognized that, right?
Oh.
So anyway, I went through that for that time period. I knew it affected me, but it didn't look like it did. So I ended up graduating number 11 in my class. I'm homecoming queen, prom queen, best all around.
Okay.
From my peers who at one point teased me, right? Go to college, undergrad, I do fine, graduate with honors, master's, graduate with honors, come to my doctoral program or the PsyD program. And I started to have trouble because it was challenging, right? So I started to have trouble. And this thought that I recognized I had for a very long time was, I'm actually lucky. Mm. I'm doing well because I'm just lucky, right? Mm. And in any moment, they're going to discover the truth.
Wow.
But when I started having trouble with the PsyD program, right, it was now like, see?
I told you.
You're not really smart. You're not really pretty enough. Like all of those never good enough stories.
Yes.
And rebound story, I actually got let go of the program, but I reapplied to say, I would not apply, but I appealed it.
Got
back in the program.
Wow.
But by the time I got to the, because you couldn't get but two C's in the program. That was it. And they let you go. The second C, I just said, I can't do this anymore. But I recognized that belief that I had believed for so many years finally caught up with me. And that was where I had to do work.
Wow. So your story is so amazing because it is so similar to mine, but also so opposite of mine is crazy. So, you know, I'm actually working on journal now and just called Enough because I know I feel it within myself, that negative core belief of I'm not good enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. And then I hear it in my clients, I hear it across the board. It doesn't matter race, creed, color, sexual orientation, socioeconomic, all I hear is always this sense of enough. You can be a multimillionaire, billionaire, gazillionaire, and they still talk about, well, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough. And so the journey I'm working on is just really understanding and establishing this one common word that we all struggle with is enough. So as you excelled in school and throughout school, I struggled all throughout throughout school because I have dyslexia and dyscalculia. And so that kind of the same thing of not feeling I'm smart enough. So whereas you felt that, you know, I'm not this enough and I was just lucky, you know, I never felt that I'm just lucky part. I always just felt the I'm not smart enough part. And I did not want to be just another, viewed as another stereotypical, stupid, dumb, black person. And especially female, because, you know, we at, you know, when we talk about the totem pole and discrimination versus the women, the, you know, we fight for women's rights, so I'm a woman. Then we're discriminated because I'm, you know, black. So I'm a woman of color. You know, we at the, you know, kind of like the, from society standpoint, a lot of times the lowest of the low. And I knew that although I struggled academically, like with it, with internally, but I worked extremely hard. I was always on the honor roll. But I still never just felt smart enough to go to college. And so out of the out of high school, I went into military. Then I went into law enforcement. Of course, getting all the careers where I can be successful at without having to go to college. And then, you know, those, for one reason or another, didn't work out. And I moved here to Atlanta. And one of my colleagues who was working under me, he was in school. And he was kept on like, why don't you go back to school? Why don't you go back to school? And I'm like, nah. And I would never admit that it was because I didn't feel smart enough. But he's always asked me, and I got tired of him asking. He asked me so much, I got tired of him asking me, to where one day I was sitting at home and them old commercials, I don't know if you remember, I used to be like, call now if you want to get your such and such in criminal justice or your nursing degree, call us now. So, you know, my thought was, let me just go ahead and call him to prove to him that I can't get in, that I'm not smart enough. And so I called. And I got in, you know, I passed the exam and I got in, and then, you know, got accepted into the program and gradually, you know, passed the test to, you know, this exam and got these good grades on this project, ended up, you know, got getting my associates in criminal justice. And then that motivated me to go on and to go on to go on to getting my master's and then my bachelor's. And then I got introduced to psychology and I said, okay, well, I want to become a forensic psychologist and merge my love for criminal justice and my newfound love for psychology together. And then one of my good mentors, old professor, said, no, you actually don't want to be a forensic psychologist. What you want to be is a clinical psychologist and do forensic evaluations. So I said, okay. So that sent me to Augusta the first time, and I completed my bachelor's in psychology, and then I went to Augusta Phoenix. Okay. And that's why I asked you about your experience at Augusta, because Augusta Atlanta and Augusta Phoenix is so different in regards to discrimination and culture and things of that nature. So I had the initiative of going into the PsyD program as well. But I transitioned just because of that. I transitioned to the international psychology program because of, you know, I'm in the PsyD program and they're telling us things like, well, yeah, you know, the cultural competency book was like, oh, you know, that a Black woman, they have their hand on their hip, that means that they're, you know, angry or they have it. And it's all these things that was very discriminatory. And I'm like, this is what you're teaching us as psychologists in the cultural competency class. This is what you're preparing us for.
Wow.
And then when different things would happen, I called an agency for my internship. And the lady said that I had an attitude when I called.
Wow.
And they denied me. And I was like, all I did was say, can I speak to you?
Wow.
So very similar in that way of kind of feeling that same way. And I did not start my similar to you when your issue started coming out in the PsyD program. Mine very similar started coming in the second year of my master's degree program. I don't remember what class it was, but I started getting triggered. Like every time I went in, I would shake, I started crying, I was like this. And I asked my professor, I said, this is what's going on. And he was like, you're probably military, right? I think you may have and something going on. I encourage you to go. And when I went and spoke to someone, all the floodgates come open to what we talk about, all the developmental trauma from substance abuse, domestic violence, poverty, military sexual abuse, all this stuff that I thought, you know, that where a lot of times people in our career, they say that, oh, I went into mental health because either I knew about the trauma. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, no, I just kind of accidentally fell into mental health.
Right.
And then the floodgates have flooded open and come open.
You had your own healing journey.
Absolutely. How does your clients work with, how do they feel? Do you expose at all any about your own, you know, personal journey to help relate with some of your clients and things like that? And if so, how do maybe your clients feel about working with a Black female clinician who can actually maybe resonate with them?
Right. Good question. I don't actually as much in the practice as outside of the practice.
Okay.
About 8 years ago, I expanded beyond the four walls.
Oh, nice.
And that's okay. When I started doing retreats and workshops and events. And that space allows us to disclose, right?
Yes, yes.
That space allows us. And so that is what I do. I take them on the journey of that, knowing who they truly are and unlocking their true power. And that obviously is rooted in knowing that you're enough, that you're worthy, that you're deserving, which most of us struggle with, some root of that. So I allow myself permission to do it outside of the four walls. In the four walls, though, I take those same principles and help my clients.
Okay, good. So tell us all, for those who may want to work with you, a little bit about your practice, where can we find you at, and about your next retreat. Where are you guys going and when?
Yes. Okay, so you asked the two things. I'm going to tell them about the practice. So how they can connect with me. So my practice name is Empowerment Counseling and Consulting Services. We're exclusively virtual. So the pandemic shifted everyone, right? And it shifted us to that virtual space.
Are you licensed just in the state of Georgia?
Just in the state of Georgia.
Okay, so we can do all of Georgia.
So I get to serve so many people now outside of this Lawrenceville and beyond Gwinnett County. So that's how they can find it. It's Empowerment Counseling. It's IMPOWER, the number 1.com. So it's empower1.com. That's for the practice. For what I do for women. So we are going, I'm excited. We're going to Bali again. So we went to Bali last year. We spent 8 days in Bali. You have to.
When are you guys going?
Well, I'm just saying you gotta go for yeah, yeah. tests, but we're yeah, going.
Yeah. No, I'm, look, I wanna do it all.
We're going August 31st through September 7th.
Oh, so that's my sister's birthday, August 31st.
It's amazing. Like, the energy, the people, is so healing. The land is so healing. The trip going 25 hours in the air to get there is a transformation all in itself, I promise you. So that retreat, it's called the Ultimate Reset. And then we're going to Morocco, Africa. So Morocco is vibrant, it's lively.
I love Morocco.
It's really about yes. bringing out your dreams and creativity, healing you so those things can manifest in your life. And that one is called Radiant Dreams Unleashed.
Okay, so, and when is that one?
That Morocco is the June 22nd through the 29th.
Okay, so Morocco's coming first.
It is.
And then Bali. So y'all get y'all coins together.
Right.
Make sure you look up and follow. We can find out the information on empowerment.
So for the movement of women, it is actually the Whole Woman Experience.
Thewholewomanexperience.com. Is that the same handle on social media?
On social media, it's going to be Natalie Warren on all platforms.
Okay, so you guys make sure you check out, follow, like, follow, subscribe to my girl Natalie Warren on all social media platforms. Make sure you check her out at her practice that is completely virtual at Empowerment. Make sure it's I-N-Powerment. And then make sure y'all come with us to Morocco and Bali. I say yes because, you know, I'm going. I'm coming. God willing. Inshallah. And so, and that's in June and in August. And they can find out about that at
The Whole Woman Experience.com.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us here on Dr. O After Dark. I had an amazing time. I really think that this will really encourage and empower and educate a lot of, you know, a lot of people. So once again, thank you for joining. And we're going to cheers
yes.
to that.
Yes.
All right.